Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Annette, publishing pusher here. Another beautiful week, another beautiful day. The Lord has allowed me to see. I like to say I am breathing above ground, y'all. Because if it was under, we wouldn't be breathing. So we thank the Lord for a new day. We thank the Lord for this podcast. And every week, I like to bring to you a great person that I have connected with, that I've had conversations with. Yes. And today is no exception. I have Frederick Beatty with me today. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, sister. How you doing?
Doing great. Now, we met on a social platform. I like to let people know where I meet people at. We met on a social platform called Clubhouse.
Yes.
And I believe I connected with you through Dr. Carolyn Coleman. And we just kind of, you came into my publishing space that I had. And for a while, you were coming regular. And we know people have life and things going on. But I appreciate the times that you came in, because that means you left a lasting impression on me for me to reach out to you to be on the podcast. So
thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So on today, and really, y'all, I said on today, and I'm going to leave this in here, because you really don't say on today, because it is today. Okay. So I'm giving myself a teaching moment here. Okay. And we like to be down to earth. So Frederick, could you please just give us a little bit about your prior life? When I say prior life, we all had a life before we started doing all of these things. Go back there and just tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how you got to a point without sharing about your business yet or your book.
Oh, man. So prior to the person that you see before you, I was just a normal, regular child, kid, like to go outside, like to have fun, like to run, jump, and play just like other little boys would like to do. Found a profound love for writing and reading. I think most of the time, especially in my teenage years, my head, my face was always in front of a book, whether it was the Encyclopedia Britannica or the World Book or some other type of book, some other type of form of literacy, literary work. From the reading part, I grew a profound love of writing. Was part of my high school's literary club, wrote a couple of short stories, wrote a couple of poems there. After high school, you know, graduated, enlisted into the United States military, and more specifically the Navy, as a dental technician, served 3 years during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Thank goodness I wasn't called to, you know, actually go over there. I have a brother and an uncle that served with me. My brother was there, my uncle was not. But after I got out of the military, kind of wandered around for a little bit, trying to find out where I was and where I fit in this world, in the larger scheme of things, in this bigger universe that we all occupy. And I also tried to figure out what my universe was and where the people that were going to orbit me, where were they going to fit? Mm-hmm. Took a long while for that to happen. During that journey, I became a father. A father to four beautiful children. One's not with us right now. But I think along that way, you know, I think with a lot of us, even with me, I lost my way. Went through some things, adversity, most of it adversity, but most of it my fault. The other 10% was external factors that I had no control over. But, you know, kind of bounced around from one place to another, California to Washington State to Virginia, back to Georgia, then got married, moved to Florida, was married for 13 years, got divorced, came back here. And then I think when I finally arrived back here in 2020, that's
and
when
is back here,
back in Georgia, where I was born
back
and raised.
Georgia. Okay.
When I arrived back here in Georgia, I think that's where there was a mindset shift. There was a thought process shift. There was a emotional shift. I knew at that time my marriage was over, and I did what I had to do to get that started. And just for those people who don't know, yes, I filed for divorce. Divorce became final. At that point, again, still trying to figure out where I am in this world, where I fit in this larger universe, and trying to also evaluate friendships and where those people fit in my little pocket universe. So, you know, after, so you know,
like
doing
life.
Something. Oh yeah, for sure. Most definitely. And even with that going through some other things that I was dealing with in life. In 2015, I lost a child to police violence. That was that was a large impact on me. So I had to kind of recalibrate myself in that instance, dealing with the process of grief, dealing with the process of, and every stage that grief has with it. I guess I can tell folks that I'm nearing the acceptance stage. Not quite there yet, but I'm nearing there. But it took a lot for me to get to that point. There were times where I fell into deep depression. There were times where I wanted to remove myself from this plane of existence and attempted to, unsuccessfully, because I'm still here. But even with all those things, I found that being centered in God, or trying to find a center in God, was important for me at that point. And then when I came back to Georgia in 2020, I was determined to find that center and get to a point to where things didn't bother me so much. Things didn't affect me as much as they did several years ago. And I'm at a point now to where I'm happy with the growth, with the process. I'm happy with the growth that I've made. I'm happy with the person that I'm becoming. There's still trial and error, because there's still old ways that pop up and come back. But other than that, I mean, I'm really happy with where I am at the moment. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm healing. I have a great support system in a significant other. I have a great support system in my family. I have a great support system within myself. And
man,
that feels good. That feels really good.
We would never choose the bad things that happen to us that happen, but it's good when you can muddle through it, and when you can come to the realization that your center can't be in those things, because you'll stay in those things. And as I heard you talking, a song came to my head, and just a few of the words says, God kept me. God blocked it. He wouldn't let it be so. You know, when you said, you know, I even thought about taking myself out, but I'm still here. And I heard those words, God blocked it. He said, it's not going to be so. Why? Because in the predestined plan that I have for you, y'all, I didn't know I was going here, but in the predestined plan that I have for my son, Frederick, he hasn't even begun to tap into it. So I am excited that you are still here to be able to tell us it's been a tough journey. You're still in it, but you're coming out on the other side.
Exactly. And I think for me, the tipping point was in 2020, in August of 2020, when I did take an attempt to remove myself from this plane of existence, and I was unsuccessful. So I'm lying there on the floor, you know, spread eagle, you know, crying my eyes out, just asking God, just why am I going through all this? Why do I feel like I'm just suffering all the time? And, you know, the answer was very simple. He said, you're suffering because you've allowed certain things to happen, but you haven't allowed me to take control of it. You haven't allowed me to take all these things that you've been suffering from. You've been, you know, I've been told a lot of times that I've been through a whole lot of hell, but, and walked through that. And I said, that's true, but I wouldn't have been able to walk through that had I not come to that stark realization that nothing that I was doing at the time was working.
And that's it right there. Coming to the realization that I can't fix it. So mm-hmm. I am glad that you are in the process. Is because healing is a continual process, people. And you don't forget the things that you've lost. You don't forget your loved ones. You don't forget situations. You don't forget those things most often. They typically get better with time as we find that center that you talked about. And I talk about being centered in Christ. I have a whole series on centered in Christ. Okay. So we are always talking about being centered in Christ. And that's like, what better place to be than centered in Christ? But I want to also say something to something that you mentioned, because I think it's important. You mentioned that you were in the Navy for 3 years and that you had an uncle and a brother. So I want to say thank you so much for your military service and to your uncle and your brother as well, because I was married to a military man. Well, I'm still married to the dude, but we were married and he retired from the Air Force, and I was with him most of those years, and he retired from the Air Force after 22 years, and the military was good for us. The ability to travel and do so many great things. But I think also, even with that, it's always a sacrifice to sign that line and say, I'm going to belong to you for this period of time. So yes. I commend anybody that signs that.
But I always tell people it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure to serve.
Amen. That's beautiful. So now we know a little bit about your personal stuff. And listen, everybody, we all got some personal stuff, okay? And it's good to be able, I always have my counseling hat on, although I'm not pastoral counseling at this moment, okay? But I think it's important for us to be able to be transparent, you know, to show our authentic selves, because in that we get to inspire and empower others to see.
Yes.
So someone listening is going to hear Frederick's testimony. That's basically was his testimony that he was sharing. And you're going to be like, dog, he went through all of that. I ain't really going through nothing. Or he went through all of that, and I'm going through a lot too. But if he can come out better, bolder, more focused and intentional, I can do that too. So thank you so much, Frederick, for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Now, I want to talk a bit about, I think I'll talk about one of your books first. And I know you have several, and we'll have a chance for you to mention some others as well. The one I want you to talk a little bit about tonight is, what is it, The Road Less Traveled? What's the overall impetus, what is the overall thought for this book?
So one of the things that especially for me that came out of a lot of the experiences that I had from 1996, well, 1995 forward, and there were a lot of experiences. One of the things that I picked up from all these experiences, that each one of these experiences that I had has a story behind it. And there, I can create that story however I want to create it. More specifically for the book we're talking about, when we look at our roads to redemption and recovery and forgiveness, those roads are varied and they look different for everybody, for every person. For some people, it's a lonely dirt road. For some people, it's a Some people, it's a huge super highway. And for other people, it's just a winding path that has its twists and its turns, and it leads us to either it can lead us to recovery, redemption, and forgiveness, or it can lead us down a road of destruction. What I envisioned when I wrote this book, a lot of this book is really based upon a lot of my own personal experiences with mental health, emotional health, loss of a loved one, and also the fact that, you know, all these things can take a toll on us and eventually leads us to a point to where we may decide to remove ourselves from this plane of existence. So I want to write about that, but I didn't want to make it as personal as I initially intended. So I created these characters, each one with a specific link to what I was going through. This book talks about two characters. One of them is Logan. He is a young man, a successful young man, but he's having a hard time dealing with the loss of his parents. And that's driven him down a road of depression, also many attempts, but also a lot of instability in his career, to where, you know, he takes unnecessary risk, and sometimes those risks will get him in trouble with people that he cares about and that he loves. The other person is a young lady by the name of Karina. She's a former lady of the night, but she got her life together. She married a great person who was friends with her. He enlisted into the military. He was a special operations guy. So he was an operator. One day they go to a mission. It goes awry. She gets the unfortunate news that the love of her life, the person who has held her down and loved her, cared about her, respected her, cherished her, protected her, and gave her so much life and love, this person is gone. All the while dealing with having a baby, she was having a baby, and also dealing with trying to either reconcile or put behind her past her father, a manipulative and very controlling father. She's trying to put all those things behind. So a lot of these things are things that I relate to. One of the things that I relate to most is the depression, the mental health part of it, the loss of a loved one, the attempts on your life, but also the ramifications that has not only on yourself, but on other people and other people that you care about. Because as you're going down this road of self-destruction, you're also inadvertently destroying the people that care about you, that love you, that want to protect you, that want to keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Now for Logan, this is even more so, because all he wants to do is race. He's a race car driver. All he wants to do is get in the car and race. That's all he cares about. That's all he wants to do. That's the thing that drives him. That's the thing that keeps him moving and keeps him going. For Karina, you know, her husband was the one person that kept her, not necessarily sane, but kept her in a way to where she knew that every time they touched, they embraced, they kissed, they had an intimate moment, she knew in her heart that she was protected, she was loved, she was cared about, she was secure, she felt safe. And now that safety and security and that love and that protection is gone. And one of the things that I had to put into perspective for me is how does one move forward when these things are taken away from you? How does one find the path to redemption, recovery, and healing when initially there's no path forward?
So how did you find your path? Did you connect with the group? Did you go to counseling? What did you do? Did you go to a pastor? What did you do?
For me, I took a different approach. Initially, I didn't want to go to counseling because I thought that was going to be a big thing. Because I think one of the stigmas that lie with us as men with mental health is we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to seek counseling. We're not supposed to talk to anybody about our problems and things of that nature. We're supposed to be men. We're supposed to be men, and we're supposed to compartmentalize all that stuff. No, not me.
Men don't compartmentalize as well as they think. Most men.
No, we don't. I'm here to tell you we don't, because it manifests in other ways.
I actually sought a
holistic Christian counselor.
Okay.
This person is still my counselor to this day.
Very good.
One of the things that she mentioned to me when we talked, and I remember this like it was yesterday, because we talked initially, because we've always talked over the phone. One of the things that she told to me, she said, look, dude. And she said, dude. And I'm like, and I started laughing, like, but she was dead serious. She had a very stern look on her face. She said, look, dude, I'm not going to prescribe you any medication. I'm not going to sit here and condemn you for what you're going through. Nor am I going to say that you need to pray your way through, that you ain't praying hard enough. What I am going to do is I'm going to support you, and I'm going to encourage you. But I'm also going to give you some things some words to meditate on, some things to think about. I want you to look at things from a different perspective. And once you look at those things from a different perspective, maybe then those blinders that you have on will be removed. And suffice it to say, the approach worked, you know. And I can say this with complete confidence, the approach worked. It forced me to look at things completely different than what I had been looking at them in. I've been looking at things from this distorted lens of anger, confusion, regret, admonishment, self-loathing, self-defeating attitude. And I had to look at it from the opposite end of it and say, dang, that looks horrible. That looks horrible over there.
It looks really horrible. Refocus. Had to go back and reflect and reprocess some things. So let me ask you a question. In writing this book, because, you know, when you start talking about mental health and your emotion and depression and those things, and you wrote this book with characters, even though you are relatable to those characters in the things that you wrote, was there any major challenge for you in writing this particular book?
Yes. I think as you being an author yourself, there's always going to be a challenge in writing something, especially something that's emotionally charged, that has a lot of emotional outpouring in it. For me, the part where, well, there was a couple of parts, actually. The last part to where Logan and his uncle Obadiah have a talk. And they sit down and have a very serious talk about telling Logan not to blame himself for his mother and his father's death, because I think one of the things that Obadiah said is that you need to not blame your mother, blame yourself for your mother and your father's death, because that's not on you. It was their time to go. God told him to come home. Now I'm paraphrasing that because I don't know the exact phrase that he said, but I'm paraphrasing it. And to write that conversation had a large emotional impact on me, because it was the same thing that was being told to me as it pertained to my own loss. You know, I'm blaming myself for my son's death.
Could you imagine what this world would look like if nobody died? Can you imagine how many people, there's continually new births, but there's nobody that's dying? This world would be such a mess. Overpopulated people would be walking all over people. And death is, I know it's hard for people sometimes, but death is a natural process. It is a natural process, even though it may not have occurred naturally. I mean, there may have been other mitigating factors towards it, but in and of itself, death is a natural process. And, you know, unfortunately, everybody is unique. Barely. And so therefore, with the same type of situation happening to three people, all three of those people are going to act differently in how they process it, how they engage, how they move through it. So for us to say, you know, you don't need to think about that, or you don't need to do this, I think as long as we are not trying to harm ourselves and other people. Now, if that is the case, then we definitely need to step in. But I like to tell people grieving is an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're not impeding it on other people and you're not putting yourself down in a rabbit hole, you know. But grieving in itself is a real thing. But I love the premise of this book, The Road Less Traveled. And then actually a whole lot of people have traveled this road.
Very much so.
We don't want to travel it, but a lot of people have traveled this road. I like your main characters. I don't know if they're your only two characters, but your main characters, Logan and Karina. I think their stories are so relatable.
And one of the things, it was hard to write a woman character. It was because my first book, Karina is a central character too. And that was one of my challenges to write a woman character. And especially a woman of non-African American descent. Karina is actually Saudi. Is half Saudi, half Black. Her father's Saudi, her mother's Black. And for me, there was a little bit of a slight disconnect with that when I was writing it. But then again, I said, well, you know what? I'm writing about, this is the story that I'm writing about. It doesn't have to be completely, I don't have to write about her backstory and her history and things of that nature. I can write to this part, this particular aspect of her, and be comfortable with that part of it.
What we're trying to put out to the audience will determine how much information, how much background information needs to be given. And of course, if you're dealing with different cultures in your book, I'm saying this to everybody, you may have to go and do some research about that culture to ensure that the things that you do mention are in the correct context and stated the right way. So it is, research is critical. I try not to use other people's content in my work because I don't want to get excited and think I done so much. It's mine, you know what I'm saying? And then I don't give credit to the source. So research can be very important depending on what it is you are trying to write about. Now, I know that this is not your only book. How many books have you written for yourself? Because I know you all have also done some for others. For yourself.
So I currently have 5 published works. The one we just talked about is one of them. My first one was published in 2016. So this was a year. So it was almost a year after my son passed. So that one's called Broken Chains. So that one deals with primarily domestic violence. To which I have a history and an experience with. I was on both sides of that particular coin. I was an abuser and also was the abused. And I wrote that from both aspects of it. Now, instead of 2 main characters, there are 4. Karina and Logan are 2 of them. Then we have Levitica and we also have Jared. All these guys have been through something, some sort of abuse, some sort of traumatic abuse or some abusive experience. Logan was dealing with an abusive mother, an abusive mother and uncle. Karina was at the time was dealing with abuse of herself, being a former lady of the night. And then Jared was dealing with the simple fact of being dealing with a verbally abusive wife, and Levitica was dealing with a verbally and physically abusive husband. So those things are something that I can relate to. The Role Less Traveled was the second book that I wrote. That was released in 2020. I waited 4 whole years to put this one out because actually it was released in 2019. I just put 2020 on the release date of it, but I waited 3 whole years to put book two out because I had to think about what I wanted these characters to experience and what I wanted them to, what message I wanted to convey. And plus I wanted to, as you know, as an author, you want to give care to the character, to the people that the characters you write or the subject matter that you're writing upon. So again, this one deals with the mental health aspect of it, you know, how we deal with loss, how we deal with grief, how we deal with everything that comes with that. Now, my third, fourth, and fifth books were basically shifts in how I wanted to do things and how I wanted to write. So my third book ended up being a book of poetry, and it's called Tapestry, The Interwoven Soul.
Okay.
Now the premise behind that is, like, you know, I talk about how our experiences are interwoven into our life and how they affect us. I've written a poem about the bonds that I share with my brothers. I wrote a poem about, you know, about me being a kid, not really standing out or really being that popular kid in school. I wrote a poem challenging religion. A lot of these things were just things that were on my mind that I thought to never write about, you know, in a public forum, but I felt empowered and emboldened enough to write about it without the flack that I was going to get from certain poems that I wrote. And I was okay with that.
Well, I've read some interesting poems before. And I mean, not many poems that I couldn't appreciate. I mean, if it's vulgar or something, of course, I can't even get into that. But, you know, I think as we deal with people, we deal with diverse populations, or we should be dealing with diverse populations. And so when it comes to poetic flow and creativity, it also comes in varied ways. And we have to basically make sure that we're respecting other people whose opinions are different from ours, and people who have questions that we don't have, because that's just the way that it goes. Now, I want to ask you, since you're writing, you did your first book in 2016, you talk about the writing that you did as a child, and you've always enjoyed writing. Do you have a particular writing process that you like to do when you're ready to get into this thing?
I'm probably as old school as they come. I have a notebook and a pen. All the ideas I write down in a notebook and a pen, and then I transcribe it from the pen to the laptop, and then we go from there. I use my laptop in the, you know, Microsoft Word or whatever program I use as kind of like that fine tuning type thing. I don't edit while I'm writing because I want to do that. I do that process afterwards because I don't want to interrupt what's going on through my mind and the type of flow that I'm having. Especially if it's like an off the cuff idea or something that I really want to like talk about right away, I jot it down and then I transcribe it. I mean, I'm as probably as old school as they come. I mean, I have several notebooks in here that have stuff that I have yet to even put in my laptop. I mean, I got stuff that goes past, I got words that go past the margins and everything.
You say you sound like me. My husband asked, he said, "Oh, there's a file cabinet in the other room. I'm gonna get rid of it." I said, "You can't get rid of that file cabinet." He was like,
Don't
"And
touch
I
that.
said, that stuff, this stuff I've been writing since '84. I mean, we were using typewriters back then, so you can imagine what some of that stuff is looking like. Okay, it has not been put in any processing yet." And I'm like,
Don't touch
"No,
that.
that's
Leave it
not
alone."
that can't go anywhere." But I'm like you, Frederick, I am a lover of notebooks. I even have some that I created myself. And when I'm doing different workshops, they will be a part of the things that people get so that they can take good notes and encourage them. And as we're doing our different writing activities, they can keep everything together. I'm old school like that too. So I just feel like I get that flow with my pen, my pencil, and my paper. And it seems like it registers better with me when I go to then process it into the system. And so I thoroughly enjoy the old school. And I still, when I'm teaching, I teach people from the old school way. I'm like, I say, "You don't have to do this. You can audio if you want to, you can go right to the computer and your pad and whatever and start doing what you want to do. But this is the way I do it, and this is the way we're gonna do it today. You ain't gotta do it when you lead a workshop, but this is the way we're gonna do it today.
What
We're
we
going
gonna do? This is how we
back.
gonna do it today.
We're going back to the basics." So
Oh
we
yeah,
have,
I mean,
you can hear that we have some basic routines and habits. Now, when you work on your writing project, do you already have a projected date that you want to have it completed? And if so, how do you work towards it?
no,
Okay.
I don't put dates or limits on when I complete something. Something that I learned from the first publishing company that I was with. And I remember this, and I take this with me now. Your book's completed when there's no more words to write. And it's done when it's done. There's no, you don't put deadlines on yourself. Even though we have a deadline, don't put deadlines on yourself. But they also told me to make sure that I pace myself too. Write it, at least write a page or two a day. If it's at least with something that I'm writing about, write a page or two a day. But they also said that, hey, look, can just it's. And this is, like I said, this is something that I take with me now. Your book is complete when there's no more, when you have no more words to write.
And your first two books are novels.
They're not like 300 pages. I guess they're considered novellas. So
Novellas.
they're less than
Okay.
200 pages.
Okay. Okay. All right. I haven't written, I don't write novellas or novels. So, and for the
I've
person who
tried to
has
do
that
that.
creativity to pull those pieces together, I'm like, hey, I love
I've
it.
tried to do that, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, the longest book that I've read was Dune by Frank Herbert. That was almost 400 pages. And as a child, I wanted to write like that. I wanted to write that vivid, that vivid stuff with extremely fleshed out characters and these amazing set pieces and talk about these landscapes and things of that nature. And I was like, and I thought about it, and as I see myself as a writer now, I was like, yeah, I can't. There's something I can't do. And it's not to say that I can't do it or I won't do it. It's just that that's not the style of writing that I have adapted or I've taken up at the time. I think a lot of what I write is, again, they're novellas, but I try to be as descriptive as I possibly can, but also at the same time, I like to call myself a conversation. I like to call my writing a conversationalist style, because I'd rather let the character dialogue speak, talk, tell the story, but also
Okay.
let the character dialogue evoke those emotions for the people to kind of feel. So I don't like to use a lot of descriptive words or descriptive paragraphs. I do, but I try to make those paragraphs as brief as I possibly can, because I'd rather let the spoken dialogue tell the story and then pull out the emotions that needs to be pulled out for the reader.
I like it. So the road, the main book that Frederick talked about today is The Road Less Traveled, but he has several books, everybody. So in a moment, mm-hmm. he's going to tell you how you can get copies of his books, especially The Road Less Traveled. Sounds like a great read with Logan and Karina. I would mm-hmm. like for you at this time, because I know you have a business and we'd like to find out what we want to get in your business. And want you to take a minute or two and tell everybody about your business. And also at the end of that, you can share with them how they can connect with you and get your resources.
Cool. So one of the other things I do besides being an author, I also am the owner of a podcast platform. That podcast platform is called Trailblazers Radio. We are a platform that we talk about a myriad of things. We've talked about relationships. We talked about mental health. We talk about a lot of things. And one of the things I like about myself and the three other people that are aligned with me is that we don't mind opening a closet and walking in that closet and throwing things out of that closet. We don't mind doing that. If it means that somebody can hear that, somebody can be healed from that, cool.
Seasons and timing really is everything. Mm-hmm. We are at the end of our time together, Frederick. So please tell everyone how they can get your books and reach out to you.
Okay, so all of my books, The Road Less Traveled, Broken Chains, How I See It, The Perspective Soul, Tapestry, the Interwoven Soul, and my last book, Avenues, The Traveling Soul, all those books are available currently on Amazon. I do plan on buying some bulk copies of each one of those books. So if you are interested in getting a copy of that book, you can reach out to me via email at trailblazers@gmail.com. I'll try to respond to you within at least 24 hours or so. Let me know what you need and what you want. If you're interested in being a guest, reach out to me via the same email address, or you can reach out to me on Instagram at Mr. _Beattie or Trailblazers Radio. Also on Facebook, Trailblazers Radio or Frederick Beattie. Either one of those, I try to respond back as quickly as I can within 24 hours. But first of all, thank you, Miss Annette, for having me here. This has been, I've enjoyed myself being here with you tonight today.
Thank you.
This has been wonderful.
Therapeutic, right?
Very.
Therapeutic. Very. But Frederick, thank you so much for giving us of your time today. And maybe we'll do another session on another one of your books soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Vanette's Chat Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, johnapublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.